Babe, can you hurry up?
I can't figure out how to buckle this thing.
We're going like 3 miles. Who cares?
All right,
leave
fine.
Him.
What are you doing?
It's dry shampoo. Do you think I have time to shower?
Why do you need that? Just wake up earlier.
Oh, maybe if you'd help me with the kids,
okay.
I could bathe.
I do everything in this house.
Can you give me that?
That seatbelt thing drives me crazy. It gives me a headache. Can you buckle up, please?
Okay, maybe if you would do your job, I wouldn't have to.
Mom, Dylan's mad.
Why?
Why is he mad?
Because he lost his Triceratops.
Triceratops aren't even in
the Bible. They're not in the Bible.
Okay,
they don't
learn creation.
Here, put some of this under your eyes. Did you not get any sleep?
I got plenty of sleep. I'm fine. What?
Daddy stayed up playing poker.
Okay, enough. Play with the Barbies.
Can you please learn how to drive?
Listen, do your makeup at the house.
I don't have time. What is this, chocolate or poop? Baby, I'm trying to put my lipstick on. If you could...
He's learning about David and Goliath. Just let him shoot, okay?
Throw that gun at him.
I can shoot. Mom, Dylan wants to watch videos on Dad's phone.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. Tell Dylan that Daddy's texting and driving and
okay,
he can't
listen,
use it.
I'm navigating, all right? I'm on the GPS.
Okay, maybe if you went to church more, you wouldn't have to look up where it is. Can you stop hitting your brother, please?
I promise you, if I have to pull this car over, these spankings are about to be deep and wide. If your mother didn't have so many headaches at night, then maybe I wouldn't be such an irritable mood. Get control of your family.
Can you get control of the steering wheel, please?
Move. I gotta move this.
How long has this coffee been in here?
I don't know, since last weekend.
I don't care.
You're in charge of the kids.
Oh, I'm in charge of the kids?
I don't know. Wives, submit to your husbands. Ever read that verse?
You ever heard the song, It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right?
That's not a Bible verse.
Sorry, kids. It sounds like Daddy needs a little N-A-P-T-I-M-E.
Okay, maybe Mommy needs some M-E-R-L-O-T again.
Where is Barbie?
Barbie's staying at home today.
Okay, maybe Barbie stayed at home because she put on her makeup at the house.
Maybe Barbie needs a new Ken. But please, can I have that?
Look at that. And you want to have another baby?
We're not going to the playground!
Quiet! I can't handle it. We are going to church!
Well, I hope the sermon series is on patience today.
Okay, what?
You need it.
Come on, where is it?
Can you give me that?
The playground!
We're not... Okay, if you guys can act good for just 2 hours, we'll take you to Pizza Hut after church, okay?
Did you just bribe our children?
It's the only thing that works. We're about to go into church. Will you put your phone on silent?
Okay, maybe you should put your voice on silent, honestly.
Okay.
Hey, we're like 15 minutes late to church.
Should we just act like visitors and park in the front?
I don't know. We got to put on our flashers for that.
Should we just drop the kids off and go to lunch?
Can we even do that?
We tithe enough. We should be.
Mom, Dylan said he has to pee.
Let him pee in his pants. I don't care.
We have the diaper bag, sweetie. It's the church nursery's problem. No, we're not watching Moana on the way to church.
On the way to church, it's always VeggieTales. On the way home, you can watch whatever you want.
We literally don't care.
Why on the way to church is it always VeggieTales?
It's Christian!
You know, we're all laughing here because we know how true that car ride is because we've all experienced it at least once, haven't we? How many of you know all too well that scenario? It's hilarious. I'm grateful that I'm on staff here at the church, and I get to come here to the church before my whole family. So my wife gets to deal with all four of the kids, and I get to hang out with my worship team all morning. So my name's Dan. I'm on staff here at Bismarck Baptist Church, and it is just an absolute joy to be here this morning. Pastor Brian is visiting family up in Canada, and so I'll just be praying for them for their trip and their travels and a much needed weekend away. So I want to take you back 2 years. I want to share a bit of my story with you. It was the summer of 2020. We had just gotten out of COVID, and I had submitted my letter of resignation to my previous church, who I was the worship pastor for 8 years. And I was going to focus all of my energy on my business. I do custom forage harvesting. I got some pictures coming up here on the screen, and love what I do. Our business is, we have a really busy season from like in September, October, but it's 6 to 8 weeks. That's we put in our entire year's worth of work in 6 to 8 weeks, and I kid you not, we work around the clock, and it is high energy, and it's fast-paced, and it's just constantly going. Do we have those pictures on the screen? Just so you can kind of see what that looks like. And for me, I had went straight from working at the church right into our harvest season. And I didn't have the time or the energy, the emotional capacity to properly deal with that transition while I was in my harvest season. Eventually, obviously, we finished up that season, and when the season was over, I was faced with the reality that I was no longer working at the church anymore. And I don't think I seen coming just how difficult that was going to be to close that chapter of my life and ministry. And it was incredibly painful. When the season wrapped up, it hit me like a ton of bricks, just a freight train just took me out. That season was followed by some extremely dark days. And I'm just going to be vulnerable with you for a minute. I was not okay. I was angry. I was mad that I was bitter. This ministry that I had worked so hard on for 8 years, all of a sudden it was gone. I was grieving loss of friends. I was grieving several different things, just that ministry left behind. It was so incredibly difficult. I was financially scared to death. We had the worst possible first 3 years of starting a new business without going bankrupt as you possibly could have had. It was, I could not have thrown another problem into those first 3 years. It just wouldn't even have been possible. Our finances were in ruins. We were in debt up to our eyeballs, upside down on most of them. Stressed to the max with a pregnant wife at home, 3 little kids, and no job to support them, in a house that we couldn't afford. I was not okay. I was questioning my calling that God had laid on my heart. I knew God had called me to be a worship leader, but what kind of worship leader am I if I didn't even have a church to lead worship at? And I remember visiting several different churches, and I hated it. I hated every second of it. Felt like I had a target on my back. I've got a pretty well-known face in the worship circle. We would walk in, and it was like the treatment came out, and they were so excited that we were there, and I'm grateful for their hospitality. We have amazing churches in Bismarck. Absolutely. Bismarck Baptist was no different. I didn't even want to come. There was nothing in me that wanted to be here that morning. But I told a friend I'd come check it out. I sat right back there about 5 rows from the back. Church was over, and I just wanted to get out of here. And I seen Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian seen me, and he came over to me. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh, not again. I'm sure he's going to tell me how excited he is that I'm here to worship. He's glad I'm here this morning and all the crap I've heard at every other church. I guess I was cold. I guess I was generally uninterested. And Brian would tell you the same thing. He would say that I was disengaged. He would say I was just not involved in the conversation at all. he picked up the hint. He gave me his business card and said, you know what, if you want to grab a cup of coffee or something like that, here, just give me a call. I remember waking up some mornings feeling like I had no purpose. I had no drive. I had no energy. I had nothing to do. It was like God just left me in this desert with no place to go. There was mornings I didn't even want to get out of bed. There was mornings I was mad that I even woke up. One day, my wife, she told me I needed to talk to somebody. She said, I don't know who you need to talk to. If you got to call a counselor, if you need to talk to one of your pastor friends, but you have to talk to somebody. And I couldn't call any of my pastor friends. I don't know. I was ashamed of the place I was in. I was embarrassed. But I had this business card in my pocket from this Pastor Brian guy. And I called him up. Matter of fact, I was already on my way. I hopped in my car. I left. I called Pastor Brian on my way, and I said, is this Pastor Brian? Yeah, it is. Hey, this is Dan Weigel. I don't know if you remember me, but I wanted to come in for a few minutes and just chit-chat a little bit. Yeah, no problem. Come on in. Great, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And about 3 or 4 hours later, I finally left Brian's office. 3 or 4 hours of just unloading my garbage on him. Every reason why I was mad, every reason I was upset, every reason I was bitter, just everything. I laid it all out there, and I can't believe he didn't walk out on me. And that was the start of one of my most precious friendships that I have right now. One of the things that made it so hard is I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be the one that people come talk to me when life's screwed up. People come talk to me when they need help. But now I'm sitting on the other side of the room realizing I'm a mess. And that's kind of all of us. None of us are perfect. There's mornings where I lead worship up here, and I just want to tell you, I am screwed up. I'm a mess. I'm not perfect. Could I be worse? I'm sure I could be. But I could be a whole lot better. So I'm going to turn the question a little bit, and I'm going to ask you, are you okay? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Are you okay? Because we're kind of used to lying about it, aren't we? I'm doing great. I mean, the truth is, my wife and I aren't talking right now, but yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. Truth is, I can't quit watching porn. I'm doing good, but the truth is I just got done screaming at my kids all the way to church. Truth is I'm still grieving the loss of my parents from years ago. Truth is last night I thought about killing myself, but yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, things are looking up and up, right? I mean, obviously, we probably shouldn't unload all of our feelings at every random person that asks us how we're doing. Like, that's just rude. Don't do that. But the problem is this. How often do we give that same fake garbage answer to ourselves? How am I doing? You know what? I'm just going to deal with that later. How am I doing? It doesn't matter. How am I doing? You should probably just get back to work now. How am I doing? You're fine. Suck it up. Get over it. Be a man. Be a woman. Deal with it. It's life. No one even wants to hear it anyways, so just suck it up. I mean, I'm not okay, but I'm just going to pretend like it's not there. I'm just going to cover it up. I'm just going to hide from myself. I'm going to hide from others. I'm not going to show my emotion or show my feelings. Why in the world do we do this? Is it pride? Is it shame? Are we afraid? So I ask the question again, are you okay? And I'm just going to give you probably the answer. If you're brutally honest with yourself, the answer is no, I'm not okay. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm faking it. I have no direction. I've got adult children who have fallen away, and my heart is wrecked when I think about them who have no relationship with the Lord. I'm not okay. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm not okay. I have an eating disorder. I'm not okay. I'm short-tempered. I'm anxious. I'm scared. I drink too much. I'm not okay. I can't forgive myself for something I did years ago. Can I just share this with you? It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. So quit beating yourself up. One day Jesus crossed paths with someone who is not okay. And the story comes from Matthew chapter 8. So this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been in for the last couple of months. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Here we go. When he came down from heaven, great crowds followed him. And suddenly, a leper came to him. Okay, we're just going to pause right here for just a second. Let's take a minute. Leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that it resulted in terrible sores all over the body. Rashes, crippling of the hands and feet, even loss of appendages, it was brutal. Brutal. There was no disease more dreaded in those days than leprosy. And that's just the physical aspects of it. But let's talk about the social and the psychological effects, which would have been even more devastating. They would have been banished from society. They were considered dead. They had no relationships whatsoever, even with family. They were forced by law to live outside of town. What does that do to a person? You guys caught this much of a snapshot of it. Y'all thought your quarantine was bad during COVID? Oh my goodness, doesn't even touch the surface of what it would have been like to have been isolated in such a way if you had leprosy. Leprosy was the precise picture of loneliness, the precise picture of misery and hopelessness, despair. And this man with leprosy, he knew he was not okay. If anyone was approaching a leper was required by law to warn the people that were coming at them. And just so that they knew to stay away. So they had to shout out to the person coming at them, "I am unclean, unclean, unclean. Do not come near me. Unclean." So imagine if every time you came across somebody, you had to shout out to them in which the places that you are not okay. Don't come near me. I'm a drunk. I can't quit drinking. I'm sleeping around. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. Last night I watched porn. Stay away from me. Totally humiliating. Totally humiliating. But this man with leprosy, what did he do? It says here, suddenly a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So the leper, this man who was cast out of the village, the man who was forced to announce himself as unclean to everyone he would meet, this is what he did. He didn't hide from Jesus. He approached him. He didn't keep a distance from Jesus. He approached him. We so often hide our true selves from those around us. We even hide our true selves from ourselves sometimes. And yes, we even try to hide our true selves from Jesus. Why? Because we're ashamed. This isn't a new concept either. So you take a look at Adam and Eve, for example. What happened there? They ate the forbidden fruit. They became naked. And then what did they do? They were ashamed, and so they hid, right? From the beginning of time, humanity has been convinced that we need to clean ourselves up. We need to be perfect before God, but obviously we can't. So what do? We hide. We pretend like we have it all together. We feel like we have to be perfect. Why? Because everybody else is perfect, aren't we? Aren't we all perfect? Nobody has any issues in here, right? All your kids, they're all perfect too. What do? We come to church. We tuck our shirts in. We pretend like we didn't just get done screaming at the kids. Tell our wife, put on a smile. Maybe we'll even hold their hand because we haven't held their hand in a week since the last time we went to church together, right? Bribe the kids with lunch afterwards if they behave themselves. Come into church and the greeter says, how you doing? I'm doing great. Oh, no, that wasn't screaming you heard coming out of the minivan. We were just singing at the top of our lungs because we're all excited to be here. Why is it that church is the very last place to not be okay? So the leper knelt before Jesus. He didn't hide. He approached him and he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can heal me. If you are willing, you can free me. What does Jesus do? It says here, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Don't miss what just happened here, folks. This man who everyone was afraid of, the one that no one would even come near of, the man that no one would even come close to, Jesus reaches out and touches him. Everyone else would have ran away. What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't run away. He reaches out. He reaches out to this leper and he touches him right at the source of his pain. And I'm not talking about his physical pain here. He reaches down to his soul and touches him. Jesus, the one who is fully human and fully divine, reaches down from the heavens and touches him. Jesus had many, many miracles in which he just said, be healed. He just said the word and they were healed. But not this time. Jesus says, no, this time I need you to touch him. This time I need you to touch him. Why? Because he needs to know how far I am willing to go for him. He needs to know the depths of my love for him. I don't care how broken you are. I want to reach out and touch you. It's okay. Your sores don't scare me. It's not too messy for me. I want to be involved in your pain. Jesus says, I am not running away. And the one thing that you are specifically not supposed to do with a leper, Jesus does. He reaches out and he touches him. And folks, this is exactly what Jesus wants to do in your life as well. He wants to reach out and touch us at the source of our pain. In the most sensitive of places, in the secrecies of our heart. We said earlier, it's okay to not be okay. But the real truth is this. It's okay to not be okay, but Jesus doesn't want us to stay here. Jesus reaches out to the leper and he touches him and heals him. He didn't just like give him a high five and say, hey, I'm glad you're okay with being not okay. That was not his desire. His desire was to heal him. It's okay, folks. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to be tarnished. But God has more for us. He wants us to experience abundant life with him. So what does he do? He reaches out by stepping down from his throne to walk with us in this fallen world. The word says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus had to walk this earth. He had to acquaint himself with our sorrow, experience our pain, experience our suffering. He does that to reach out to us and say, my child, be healed. My child, we are not staying here, but we're going somewhere else, and I'm bringing you with me. By my wounds, your wounds will be healed. When you walked in today, every single person should have received a little card. I should have one with me, I don't. A little card. If you do not, do we have a picture of that card on the screen? The card should look like this. If you do not have a card, please raise your hand. We got some ushers that are going to run around and make sure everybody has a card. Everybody needs a card. A couple here. A couple over in that neck of the woods. Keep your hands up. The usher can find you. On this card it says, I'm not okay. I'm blank. Looking at this story of the man with leprosy, one of the best things that we can do if we are not okay is to approach Jesus. To approach Jesus and acknowledge the fact that we're not okay. The first step in healing is to admit that there is something that needs to be healed. The first step in transformation is to admit that there is something in our hearts that are in need of transformation. To be the first step in healing is to be real and true with yourself. Just want to say, by writing something on the card doesn't make it magically disappear. I'm just going to say that. But rather, we are acknowledging that there is a problem, that and this is just step one, and it's a great first step. It's like you're in a dark room, and all of a sudden somebody goes over and flips the light switch on, exposing Satan and exposing the lies that you have been told over and over and over, bringing it to light, exposing it for what it is, a lie. More than anything, when we acknowledge it, we invite God in. We invite God into our pain. We invite God into our suffering. We're saying, we don't want to do this alone anymore. We're saying, God, I'm tired of feeling like this. So I just want to challenge all of us right now to fill it out. Grab a pen, borrow a pen. Maybe it's just one word. Maybe it's a bunch of words. Maybe it's sentences. Maybe you need to use the back of the card too. Don't put your name on it. We don't need that. This week, our staff and our prayer team and our deacons, we are going to pray earnestly over these cards. By acknowledging it, we want to shed light in the darkness and approach Jesus with it, just like the man with leprosy approaches Jesus. We're going to have communion here in just a minute. And right before we pass out the communion elements, we're gonna send plates across the pews, and I'm just gonna ask to throw that card in the plate so we can pray over you. We're gonna have no idea who wrote what, but we're just going to pray in general over you, and every single one of those cards, individually, specifically, will be prayed over. Jesus broke bread with his disciples while they were still broken, while they were still sinners. He broke bread with the one who would sell him. He broke bread with the one who said, I will never leave you. But he denied him three times. Jesus broke bread with the broken. So I just want to say, if somebody has ever told you that you're not welcome to the communion table because of something you've done, I'm sorry. I am sorry. We are all welcome here at this communion table. We're going to pass the trays out. You don't have to be a member at this church or any church for that matter. As long as you love Jesus and you are pursuing a relationship with Jesus, please join in communion with us. It's my prayer that at this communion table, that this would be a place where healing begins. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I thank you so much for the spirit of honesty, the spirit of authenticity in this room. Hearts that just want to seek you. hearts that just want to be closer to you, knowing that none of us are perfect, but God, we seek you and we just press in to you. It's my prayer, God, that this broken, wretched heart would be transformed, would be changed, would be made new. I thank you so much for the forgiveness that we receive. I thank you so much that you came and you walked on this earth and you experienced our suffering. That you shed your blood knowing full well what you were shedding your blood for. You knew full well you were shedding your blood for all the places that I'm broken, for all the places I'm tarnished. You knew you were shedding your blood for me. And so, God, at this communion table, we remember. We remember your sacrifice. We remember everything that you did to show the depths of your love so that we could experience pain in the most sensitive places of our heart.